Hello and welcome to the second ever i5 Sports Prospect Watch podcast. I'm Baron Kuhn along with Corey Scarbeck and Ryan Craighead, and this is the draft special. As always, you can follow along with us at i5sports.blogspot.com as well as prospectwatch.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions or want your email read on the air, you can send us an email at i5sports@gmail.com or prospectwatch@gmail.com. And we are also on iTunes, so if you want to give us some downloads, give us some ratings, it'd be great. We are there if you search for i5 Sports in the search bar or Prospect Watch. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Baron. Corey, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Well, we're going to talk about how each of us will attack a draft, both 5x5, head-to-head, normal snake-like drafts, and also our auction strategies. How about you take it away first this time? Craighead.
All right. When I'm going fresh into a draft, I kind of like, everybody knows who's the top 10 guys, and I just kind of look at those guys and see which one is my favorite based on personal preference, you know, because everybody's going to want a Pujols, and I think if you get the first pick, you kind of have to take somebody like that. After that, there's a, I think what we were talking about earlier, Ben, is position scarcity,
mm-hmm.
like with Hanley Ramirez, and so Pujols from Hanley, that makes a lot of sense. That's probably my top two.
Definitely. What about when you get into the maybe second, third, fourth round? Are you looking to, I don't know, fill spots? Are you taking pitching? You know, what kind of strategy are you gonna take in that, in those kind of early to mid rounds?
I think that my first two picks would be a top player, position player, then a top pitcher, just so that I could have a good foundation on both fronts, so that I could have a good chance to win. Each of the categories, you know, for pitching and defense.
Okay. Sounds good. Corey, what about you? Top, you know, top four or five rounds. What are you looking to do? Are you looking to fill up? What, you know, slots?
I'm going to start first off with position scarcity. So I'm going to look for those positions that aren't too deep and try to get the best player I can in that position early. That's my main focus, really. Other than that, it's just, if there's nothing, you know, if there's not a scarce position player that's worthy of taking at the spot, then I just take the best available player at a position that I still need.
Right.
So first you look scarcity, then you look at needs on your team, and then you just, you know, and you take the best player that you can at those positions.
Are you going to be taking looking to take a pitcher? I mean, of course, you know, all of us, you know, every draft goes different, every situation changes, but in, I don't know, say 9 out of 10 drafts, are you going to be looking to take a pitcher in those, you know, first 4 or 5 rounds?
If I take a pitcher in the first 5 rounds, I'm probably not going to take another one for a while. I like to dig deep for pitching because pitching seems to be the single most category that varies from year to year the most.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to, you know, dig deep on pitchers. And there's so many more pitchers out there that's just kind of how I plan on that.
Right, I agree. I agree with both of you. I mean, when I'm in the first 5 rounds, I'm looking not to screw up, basically. The first 2. And, you know, if you can get a couple guys that are going to give you solid production, you know, the type of category fillers you're looking for, I mean, I think that's great. I'll avoid outfield normally unless, you know, somebody drops to me. But for the most part, I'm looking to fill, you know, the second base, the shortstop, the third base. You know, if you have a top 3 pick, I mean, you're going to have to probably take either Albert Pujols or Miguel Cabrera, and that's fine. I'll take the first baseman. I'm not going to be taking any pitching. Just looking to fill those categories and those positions on my roster. Cool. Let's see. What about later in the draft, Craighead? Are you going to dig deep for some rookies? Are you going to look more to the vets?
I like middle of the road guys that have been there 3, 4, 5 years that have started to figure it out. In the past couple years, I've been really paranoid about finding a catcher because I think that's the single biggest position scarcity that there is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I always kind of feel that impulse to get a catcher early.
Okay.
I'm talking fourth, if not third, if the big two guys are still out there, like Joe Mauer or Brian McCann or Victor Martinez, you know?
Yep. No, definitely. Totally agree. Corey, what about you? I mean, are you more biased towards the young rookies, the guys who have been there forever, like Craighead, or, I mean, not forever, but, you know, the guys who have been in the league for a few years and have kind of established themselves, or the old kind of guys that have been around a while and may see a little decline? I mean, where are you going in those later rounds?
When we're talking about a one-year league, I really don't look at age as much because it's a one-year. It's not a keeper. Your age doesn't really matter. You're going to have them for 1 year, and then you're going to draft new guys next year. So I'm going to look at ability. I like to look at guys that are going to first, you know, I like to try to get a lot of guys that are going to give me maybe 20 to 25 home runs and stolen bases. I think those guys are really versatile and give you both the home runs and the stolen bases.
Okay.
That's kind of how I look at it. I don't really, like I said, in a league that's a one-year league, age really doesn't matter. I mean, I might actually avoid younger guys in a one-year league, you know, draft them only late. Just because you don't know what you're gonna get. I like what Craig had said about the guys that have been there 4 or 5 years that are just coming into their prime.
Right.
I like to look for those guys and try to get the ones that haven't had that breakout season but are right there on their breakout season, just to get one of those guys kind of late to really help me win.
No, and that's a good point. I mean, when I'm in the later rounds too, I do look for, you know, the guys who've been in the league a few years. I look for, you know, guys that are right entering their prime, because I think those are the guys where you can get the most value from if they do achieve up to their, you know, their star potential. And you know, we're looking at prime between 27, 29, somewhere in there is normally when guys are going to hit their stride. And you could find some value late in the draft. You could, you know, those are the guys that are going to win you your draft, I think, are the guys in that later round. Cool. So any comment on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think the middle rounds is where you're going to win or lose your league, because this first couple, it's hard not to get a good pick,
mm-hmm.
but it's a lot easier to screw up in rounds 4 through 8, 10 or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you typically see a lot of guys reaching in that scenario just because maybe they don't know as much about the pool that's out there. They might not know every player. They might see a name that they recognize and jump for that one. And, you know, it happens every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Corey?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with what you guys are saying. You know, some people think that first pick is what really makes it. A lot of times, it's the first pick is one guy. One guy is not going to make your team. You really got to make sure to have, you know, a good first five, you know, eight rounds to if you want to win it. But another thing to remember, it's not all about draft either. One of the key strategies for me is always staying on top of, you know, the news, who's coming up, who's going down, and then add the guys, you know, that are having, you know, surges. Maybe you pick up a guy who has a good month, and then you know, slows down, you drop him for another guy. And that's really where you're going to win a league, is in your waiver wire pickups.
Yep, definitely. All right, guys, well, we're going to start talking about auction leagues. And auctions are not a new practice or a new type of draft. They're only new to the general public. And, I mean, auction leagues have been around for a while. Actually, a lot of people think they're the purest type of league. So we're going to talk about that now, and we'll start with Corey. What are you going to do with your – I guess it's not really your first pick, but are you – you know, what's your strategy in – offering that stuff, fitting, and
well, first talking about when it's my turn to put up a player for auction. What my strategy there is usually I like to throw out the players that I don't want, guys I'm not targeting, just because, especially if I want to target a position, I'll start throwing out guys I don't like, or, you know, that will people will pay for. So then, you know, they'll have that guy. So then when the guy comes, you know, there's less teams that may bid on him. That's kind of my strategy there. Just get guys I don't want to bid on, get people to spend some of the money, and try to hold on to mine until I see the people I like.
Mm-hmm.
In an auction league, it's, you know, it's different because you can target certain players. And, you know, first off, I picked two players I'm going to spend, you know, a good chunk of cash on. Depending on your league, I mean, we have a league of it was 12 last year. It's moving to 14 this year. But yeah, I'm maybe going to spend, you know, 30 plus on, you know, two guys. And then not going to pay too much for a pitcher. Maybe try to get a pitcher in the upper teens, low 20s. And then the rest of the pitchers I'm going to try to dig, you know, dig deep on, get some cheap, maybe $1 pitchers, guys I like that they're still maybe young or coming off, you know, injured seasons that I think will rebound.
Right. So you kind of take more of the stars and scrubs approach, it seems.
In a sense, because I don't, like, fill all my team with scrubs. I only take, like, a couple stars, and then, you know, I'll fill out, maybe I'll, you know, aim for some guys in the 20s. I'll get some guys in the teens. I don't just try to get $1, but I definitely do. The position I try to get some $1 players is pitchers. Pitchers and pitchers just in general, starters and relievers.
Okay.
Position players are what I'm going to pay for. When I'm talking about two $30 players, maybe a $25-plus dollar and a $30-plus dollar player, those are definitely both going to be position players for me.
Right. What do you think, Craig Ed?
And I definitely do what Corey does, where I float some big names out there that I know are going to deplete people's cash that I don't necessarily want or I think that I could afford not to have. For instance, I paid $37 for Tim Lincecum last year, which might be a stretch, but I knew that somebody was going to pay that much for him.
Right.
And I really wanted him because he's a monster in all five pitching categories pretty much. And also, I think that I'm just going to pay a dollar for one category guys like a steals guy or maybe a strikeout guy or something like that, you know?
Just some guys you can get for cheap that are going to fill the categories that your team might be weak on.
Definitely one category guys.
Okay. I know we're not talking about our league right now, but in that same league, I've learned my lesson, I guess. I finished, third to the back or something like that, and I think it was mostly to blame on my pitching. And I tend not to spend a lot on pitchers in, you know, regular drafts. I don't, you know, value them high. I don't value them high there. But I think in this season I'm going to have to try and get that one starter that, like, a Tim Lincecum or, a Eubaldo Jimenez, like some guy who's going to be a top 10 pitcher and, you know, kind of save that side of the categories for me. But, and normally I'm going to pay a lot for a couple guys and try and rely on, you know, my greater knowledge on the $1 players and try and, you know, have a couple of those. Yeah. So, as far as throwing out guys, you know, when it's your turn to toss a guy out, what are you trying to do, Craig? Are you trying to throw out guys that are, you know, that you don't want, like Corey or?
Yeah. That's because I don't want to dominate a player that I'm targeting because I know the likelihood of me getting him is not very high.
Right.
Unless it's an active draft and it's a $1 guy.
Well, yeah, then it's hard. Then you have to throw him out and, you know, hope someone's not going to try and pay $2 for him.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I'm going to bid on a star player if it's not my nomination.
Mm-hmm. Are you gonna try and wait until? Because a lot of people see bidding as, you know, as kind of a science, and they have their one way that they're gonna do it. A lot of people, you know, will wait until the countdown to start their bidding and just jump in. A lot of guys will be, you know, bidding or try and throw it up quick. You know, throw up the price really fast or, you know, be in there right away. Corey, what kind of a strategy do you kind of do that, or are you trying to change it up?
I mean, when you're talking about when I'm nominating people?
Well, when there's a guy out there that you like and you're trying to go after him, you kind of want to throw off competition.
I don't know. Sometimes I'll slow bid or it just really depends on the mood I'm in, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll slow bid him up. Other times I'll throw a bunch of cash at him right away to try to, you know, scare some people off.
Right.
Uh-huh. Maybe go a little, if it's a guy I really like, maybe go a little above the recommended, you know, price for him right off the bat to maybe, back, you know, get some people to back off.
Right.
And other than that, or you know, there's always the slow play, the, you know, just bet $1 and, you know, tell people, hey, I'm interested, you know, I'm going to keep throwing dollars out there. You keep throwing them, keep coming too.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, hopefully they back off before you reach your limit.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Craig Ed?
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a time that I bid at because with these online drafts, the time resets anyway,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to miss it. So if I have an idea of how much I want to spend on a guy, I'll put it out there. I'll start by doing a $1, $1 thing. But then if it jumps up and it's still under my budget for that guy, then I'm going to, you know, go to my budget.
Yep. That's a good way to do it.
Oh, Darren, do you price inflate a little bit?
As far as price inflate, you mean just if there's a guy I really want, I'm going to pay for him.
No, I mean where there's a guy you don't necessarily want, but you know that somebody else does. So you're going to float a couple extra bucks and make that
well,
more expensive.
I mean, in the case of Corey and Brian McCann, I'll do that. But I mean, every once in a while when I know there's a guy that someone really, really likes, I'm not going to let him get him for cheap. Like, I mean, if, yeah, let's see. I'm trying to think of an example, but, you know, maybe.
You did it to me when I won a Chone Figgins a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember you're all about Chone, and or Sean, whatever. And
oh, yeah.
Chone Figgins. Yeah, I know you were all about him a couple years ago, and I don't know. I'll do that just because I'm trying to, you know, knock a couple more dollars off your budget just so I, you know, can have a little bit of an advantage later. I'll bid on players that I don't even really want. I've ended up with a couple guys that I could care less about. But that's because I think they're valuable at the level I was bidding on. I mean, I'm never gonna be stupid, I guess, with my money. I'll bid it up until I think, okay, well, I guess I could live with it, and you know, if not, he's gonna have to take a couple more bucks. Well, Corey, what do you think about bidding up people?
Yeah, I see what you guys are saying, where you can, you know, bid up people, but it could come back to bite you in the butt there. You really want to be careful, because if people know what you're doing, especially if you're with friends who know you and you know exactly that they're doing that,
right.
You may get to the point where you go, okay, I think he's going to try to bid me even higher, and you stop $1, you know, shorter and let him maybe take Brian McCann, and you've already got a catcher. Now you're stuck with, you know, Joe Maurer and Brian McCann for, you know, 20-some-odd dollars each.
Right.
And you know, there goes a lot of your budget.
Mm-hmm.
You can be clever and try to do it, but it can come back to hurt you.
Oh, and definitely, and that's why I was saying I'm not going to be stupid about it, but I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. Like there's a button right there that I can click to bid up people, so I'm going to click it. it's going to happen. Well, okay. What about in our keeper auction? What are you guys looking to do there? I don't know who you're trying to keep, Craighead. But I don't know. Talk a little bit about that. Tell us who you're keeping. You know, approximate dollar values, and then where you're going to, you know, try and make that roster better, I guess.
All right. So I've kept Buster Posey and Starlin Castro, and that's for a grand total of $2 for
nice.
Both of those players. So I think that's a real score for me. I know both of those guys are young,
mm-hmm.
but I think that they will do well enough, and they're cheap enough to allow for greater success in this upcoming draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm keeping big time Timmy Jim.
Really? You're keeping Tim Lincecum at 37?
Yeah, I am going to. Because I don't think that he's going to be bought any cheaper this year.
No, yeah. I think he might go a couple bucks cheaper, but I mean, I guess it's not really worth the risk.
Yeah, and I think it'd have a good foundation with the pitcher closer and the catcher and shortstop. Because those positions, like I was saying earlier, are really hard to fill.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to have about, I don't know, 200 out of 260 to work with. And that way I can still get another star player plus a bunch of other good nice $20 guys, $15 to $20 guys. So that's what I'm going for.
How did we let you get Buster Posey for a dollar?
I traded some guy, Scott Rowland, and somebody else for Buster Posey.
Wow. All right, well, Corey, what are you looking to do?
Well, first off, I'm keeping Miguel Cabrera for 32, just because I feel like after the season he had, he's going to go for somewhere in the 40s.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think it's value right there. And let me just say something about as far as, you know, keeping in this auction league, what I'm doing. This is our first year. We're going on our second year, so first year of keeping anyone. So So I just look at guys who have value for cost and what they will go for. I got Delman Young for a dollar, Mike Stanton for a dollar, and Trevor Cahill for a dollar. All players I think they're going to go for around $15. The way I look at it is I'm saving myself $14 for those for all three of those, you know, each for those three players.
Yep.
And that's what I look for. There's other guys that maybe I like more, but, you know, the price is, you know, I paid too much for it. It's like Brian McCann's 27. I would love to keep Brian McCann, but at 27, he's not going to go for much more than that. If anything, he could go for less.
Right.
So, you know, he doesn't have that value. You know, it doesn't matter how much it costs. It's like when I'm going to, you know, like I said, I'm keeping Miguel Cabrera for 32.
Right.
It's a lot of money, but for his value, it's cheap. And that's, you know, that's what I look for. What is the cost of value of each player that I have?
Yeah, definitely. And let me just, you know, come close for this. You are only allowed to keep players for two seasons in a row, and then on the third season, it increases by $5. Right, Corey?
You can draft a player, keep him 1 year for no cost. Next year, his value goes up by $5, and so you can keep him. So say if he's $1 next year, on the third year you have him, he'd be $6. Uh-huh. And then after the third year, he cannot be one of your keepers for a fourth year.
Okay. And so my team, what I'm looking to do is I have Kendry Morales at 10 because I added him through our free agent bidding system. So I have Kendry Morales at $10, which I think is a great bargain. You know, he's coming off, you know, basically a non-baseball injury, and I love him. So he did have a little setback with his ankle recently, which I think is kind of funny. I have no idea how that happened, but probably because he's overweight. But I got him at $10, which I think is great. I got Ryan Zimmerman at 24, who I'm keeping, which I think he'll, you know, if he was thrown back out there, go for, you know, mid to, I don't know, mid lower 30s, probably 33, 34. Ian Desmond at 1 and Chris Young at 1. And I just think those two guys, the value that I get them, you know, Ian Desmond at shortstop, you know, really, really shallow position for a dollar. And he could, you know, do, you know, have a really good year after, you know, hitting 10 home runs and stealing 17 bases. And then Chris Young, he's going to kill my batting average, but, you know, he's a 2020 guy, possible if he improves on last year's numbers, which I personally don't really expect him to do. He could be a 30-30 guy. Yeah, I mean, in the draft, I'm gonna go after a pitcher, and I'm giving my, you know, my hand away to Corey and Craighead, but I'm gonna go after one pitcher. You know, probably pay around 50 for him, maybe mid 20s. Not really sure who yet, but I don't know. I think that's really what I was missing out on last year. And other than that, just trying to fill the rest of my roster with, you know, enough stars to hopefully finish higher than I did last year.
Well, something I want to talk about is when we go back to the free agent pickups, waiver wire pickups. In that league, my starting pitching was terrible after the draft. At the end of the season, the only guys I had that I drafted was Tim Hudson and Ryan Dempster. The rest of the guys I picked up off the waiver wire, and I traded for one. And I ended up with in every pitching category except for saves, I finished second in every one category. So it just tells you that drafting isn't everything. You got to stay on top of your team all year long. You can't just, you know, let other people pick up all the players having, you know, good months or, you know, having years that people didn't expect to have good years. And one of my keepers, Cahill, is one of those guys. I picked him up off the waiver wire for $1, and now he's a keeper. And he had, you know, he had a sub-3 ERA, 18 wins. I'm not a huge strikeout guy, but, you know, as long as I mean, I don't expect him to have those exact numbers next year, but, you know, somewhere low to mid threes with, you know, 15 to 18 wins.
Right. And, you'd expect that value.
120 or 130 strikeouts.
Yeah.
You know, that's worthy of more than a dollar, and I really like that pickup.
Yeah, I think that's true too. I mean, anywhere you can find value, great way to, you know, play that hand.
Yeah, you know, I like this league because we really have to balance money versus production.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, I guess, it's pretty close to real life.
Yeah, definitely. I You know, I enjoy that league. It's 12, 14 people, pretty soon. I just hope, in years to come we can increase the keepers, because four to me is a little, for anyone else in keeper auction leagues, it's fun. I really enjoy keeper leagues. Anytime you get a chance to have a guy statting on your team, before the season even started, starts is great. So if any of you guys have, keeper questions or anything, send us an email, prospectwatch@gmail.com or i5sports@gmail.com, and we'll get right back to you. Other than that, anybody, have anything else to say on draft strategy?
I think we've pretty much covered it.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, then, until next week, you can visit our blogs on i5sports.blogspot.com or prospectwatch@blogspot.com. We'll try and get this out, our podcast for next week out, probably every Saturday or Sunday, just so you guys can have the podcast out before free agents are unlocked off waivers.
Yes, we need to help the people.
Right. That's what we're here for. All right, guys. Well, until next week, it's been fun.
And oh, yeah.
Take it easy.
All right.
Later, Corey.
Later. Yay!